We know that Ezekiel chapter 34 is prophetic literature because it is full of all of the key indicators of prophetic word. The word of the Lord came to me. Thus says the Lord. But it's also a didactic passage or teaching passage. And addresses one of today's hottest topics. In fact, two of them. What is leadership? What does true leadership look like? What are the marks of a Christian leader? And as we get into it, we'll see it even touches a little bit on environmentalism and how should we approach the environment. So let me read the first 10 verses as we get into it. Ezekiel 34, verses 1 through 10. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered, because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely, because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hands and put a stop to their feeding of the sheep. No longer shall shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. Bow with me in prayer. Father, as we come to your word today, it's amazing that these words that were written 2,000-3,000 years ago, still address the issues that we're facing today. I pray that your word would be empowered by your spirit, that you would speak through your servant and encourage your people. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So this chapter takes a look at four levels of leadership. We looked at the first one, biblical leadership. We'll also look at God's leadership, peer leadership or Christian brotherhood, and covenant leadership. So as we look at this passage, I think it's important to identify exactly who are these shepherds that the prophet is addressing. Because probably the most obvious, most common biblical use of the term shepherds we're used to is with the Christmas story, the shepherds who watched their flock by night. Well, this is not talking about actual profession of shepherds, but it's using it as an analogy for the leaders of God's people. The second use of the word that we're most accustomed to thinking about is in the New Testament, speaking of God's shepherds as the pastors and elders and deacons of God's people, the leaders of the church. Well, that's not the instance here either. This is Ezekiel in the Old Testament. The New Testament structure of church leadership had not been yet established. So the Old Testament usage of the word shepherds of my people refers to the political and the civil leadership. The politicians, the governors, the town elders, the appointed and elected leaders of the nation of Israel. So in this passage, shepherds refers to the civil servants, the business leaders, the national government, the town council, everything that we would call secular leadership, the leaders of society. And these biblical principles of leadership apply at every level of society, all the way from presidents, all the way through to parents. So what does biblical leadership look like? As we looked at the accusations that God brought against the shepherds of his people in these first 10 verses, in a word, biblical leadership is safety. The core characteristic that God describes that they are not doing is intentional pursuit. The result that God is looking for in those who practice biblical leadership is gathered, that the people are gathered under the leadership. So verses 1 through 3 is selfish versus service. The word of the Lord came to me, the Son of Man, came to me, Son of Man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds of Israel, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. When you hire a babysitter, why do you hire the babysitter? So that my kids will be safe when I'm not with them. When you hire a house sitter, why? Keep my house safe while I'm gone. This is the same instance here. God was telling the shepherds, your primary responsibility, the duty of leadership, is to keep my people safe. Look at the accusation at the end of verse 3. But you do not feed the sheep. The second half of verse 2. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? Verse 4 gets even worse, talking about abuse and neglect instead of care. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. A leader takes the weak who are under his leadership, her leadership and care, and provides the pathway to strength, provides the sick with what they need to heal, the injured with protection. Those who have strayed are sought out, and those who are lost are brought back. When a leader doesn't do this, the result is 5 and 6, scattered. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the beasts, and my sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with no one to search or seek for them. It's interesting as we talk about on the mountains and every high hill. The high places is one of the Hebrew terms to describe places of false worship. altars to false gods. The core idea here is that God's people are lost and wandering. His flock is scattered because they're following after idols and false gods, wandering from Him. That is exactly when we are most unprotected and most vulnerable. That's when we lose our way. Biblical leadership can be described in a single word: safety. Presidents and politicians, business leaders, community council, teachers, administrators, or parents. The basic duty of leadership is to serve your people so that they can live in safety. When I was in college, 25 to 40% of us might have had cars, and everyone else depended on the rest of us to get to church. There were several of us who drove from CIU to Cornerstone, and I was telling the passengers I had with me, I said, I'm not going to be here next week. You'll need to get a ride with, you know, this person or this person or this person. And two of the girls in the back seat said something. I don't even remember who they were, but I'll never forget what they said. They said, but we like it when you drive, because when you're at the wheel, we feel safe. Just a tiny little bit of biblical leadership makes people feel safe. So, especially for the high school and college guys, young adults, if you'd like to begin exercising biblical leadership, drive so that the people who are with you feel safe. When you're at the wheel, they prefer it because they feel safe. When you're leading the project, when you're driving the department, when you're at the wheel of moving forward a piece of legislation, do it so that the people who are looking to you for leadership feel safe. These biblical principles apply to all hierarchies in all structures of leadership. Look at where you exercise leadership and determine that when people think of what you provide for them as a leader, one word will immediately jump to their minds: safety. Because he's at the wheel, because she's providing leadership, I feel safe. The next section talks about God's own leadership. So what's the difference between biblical leadership and God's leadership? Trick question, nothing. But there are two things that this passage points out to us. Biblical leadership is not something that God imposes on others, but is in fact exactly how God himself operates with us. Number two, God's leadership is an intimate relationship between God and his people. Verses 7 through 10, 11 through 16. As we look at this, just think about the description of God's leadership in a single word: is justice. Not in the sense of judgment and condemnation, but as in, he will make all things right. This is just. This is how life is supposed to be. Since the shepherds have not represented God well to his people, it's going to be intimate. He himself will now do it. So the core characteristic is intimate pursuit, and the result is restored. Verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. It's personal intimacy. I myself. It's identity of who we are. God is calling us my sheep. We are his people. 12 through 15. We're going from scattered to rescued to gathered to fed and rested and at home. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among them, among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where I have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them with good pasture, and on mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. And they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. And then verse 16, he again declares justice. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Justice for the weak, and justice for the bullies. God has a strong warning for those who, especially those who are call themselves Christians and selfishly take care of themselves first to become strong while others become weak. And he addresses that directly in this next section, which I've called biblical brotherhood. But it could be also understood as responsible citizenship or peer leadership. Verses 17 through 24. What does biblical brotherhood look like? In a single word, let's describe it as respect. The core characteristic is intentional stewardship. And the result is royal abundance. Verse 17, he brings the justice down into the flock. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will judge between the sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Among peers, God will bring justice. Verses 18 and 19 is interesting. Just a little side note that we can take a lot of environmental principles from. Not the main point of the passage, but applies today. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of the pasture? And to drink clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? So here we're looking at something that is trampled versus something that is pristine. God has given us enough resources for all of us to eat good food and drink clean water. It is our God-given responsibility to protect and preserve those resources so that everyone can enjoy God's provision. Christians should be the most responsible environmentalists ever. But we don't protect the environment in and of itself. We don't protect it at the expense of our fellow human beings. We protect it for their benefit. God gave it to us for all of us to enjoy life and to give us life. But the point of God bringing up these environmental features is not environmentalism, but community. He's saying, when I give you something, take care of it so that all of you can enjoy it, so that all of you can benefit, so that all of you receive life from my gift. A missionary told us about his experience decades ago. He brought in from several of the neighboring tribes about a dozen pastors that he wanted to give a mini retreat to. So he brought them into his house. They all stayed with him. And between one of the breaks, he thought that he would teach them how to play cricket, you know, the little backyard golf game. One of the guys caught on really quickly and went right through the course and finished ahead of everybody. And the missionary said, "Yay, you won, great, yay." But this guy didn't take it as winning. Rather, he went back and helped the next person through. And then they both went back and helped the next two through until they all finished. And then together they held hands and jumped up. "We won!" That's what God is saying we should be like as His flock. It's not who can get ahead, but it's all of us winning together because we are His people. 20 through 22, bullies versus protectors. "Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust the weak with your horns till you've scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. I will judge between the sheep and sheep." And 23 and 24. "I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them and shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken." So just watch out. If God sees that I live in abundance while my fellow sheep are struggling in subsistence, He will be our judge. And then this reference to, "I will set up my servant David." You know, David had already come and gone 400 years before Ezekiel lived. So it's not talking about King David, but the rightful heir to the throne of David. This is a prophecy about Jesus Christ being our shepherd. So we started out looking at biblical leadership. We moved on to God's leadership. We looked at peer-to-peer leadership or biblical brotherhood. And now we're concluding this chapter with covenant leadership. So what's the difference between biblical leadership and covenant leadership? Not a trick question. Biblical leadership applies to all levels of leadership. even secular leaders, from presidents to parents, and everything in between. Covenant leadership is a closer relationship, a more intimate level. Those with whom you have a spiritual relationship, a spiritual responsibility. It also applies to any group or organization that specifically calls itself Christian. A missions agency, a crisis pregnancy ministry, a foster family, even a business that promotes itself as a Christian business is responsible to carry out covenant leadership. So as you look at verses 25 through 31, in a word, covenant relationship can be described as peace or God's shalom. The core characteristic is an intimate stewardship, and the result is a secure identity. Verse 25, and I will make them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I think this is a really interesting aspect of peace. It simply means free from predators. As you think about the peace that God gives us, the peace of covenant leadership, freedom from predators. Verse 26, from the contrast between treating you like a burden and causing you to be a blessing. Verse 26, and I will make them and the places all around them, my hill, a blessing. And I will send down showers in their season, and they shall be showers of blessing. God will give us blessing, and he will cause us to be a blessing. 27, fruitful freedom. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase, and they shall be secure in the land, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who have enslaved them. Verse 28, protected. And they shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor shall the beast of the land devour them. And they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. Verse 29, respected and honored. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land and no longer suffer reproach of the nations. And verses 30 and 31 talks about our personal identity and belonging in Jesus Christ, our shepherd. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them. And they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. You are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord. So as we apply covenant leadership in our own circles, consider your own family. If you're a small group leader, think about them. If you're an elder, deacon, consider your congregation. And let us all determine today that we will carry out this covenant of peace with those who are under our leadership. That anywhere I exercise covenant leadership, my people will never have to fear a predator. Not on my watch. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, that you have assured us of your being our shepherd. Father, help us to carry out these biblical principles of leadership in every area of life. cause us to be a true community in the name of Christ. And Father, may our covenant leadership reflect your peace. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.